Welcome to the Iron Basketball Podcast, the Pick and Troll Podcast. I'm your host, Zach Harper. Jumpin' draft stock, James Herbert. What's going on?
Draft stock is just going up.
Draft stock going up on a Tuesday. Oh. Yeah, how about that? That's a pop culture reference from about
That's
8 months
what
ago.
That is. Still relevant.
Still relevant. I did a solo pod last night, and
I
don't know.
I couldn't be with you.
Yeah, it's fine. The times just didn't work out for both of us when we could do it. It's I don't know if those are good things or bad things. I always feel like I'm rushing through because I don't want it to be too long. But then, like, I get towards not having anything else to say, and I've answered all the questions, and I look at the time, and it's been, like, 38 minutes. And so then I'm like, well, we usually like to aim for 45, so I don't know if I'm doing these right.
I think 38's a healthy number for a solo pod.
For a solo pod, yeah, that's probably enough me. And then so...
I have a question. I don't know if this was submitted as a question on the solo pod, but mm-hmm. I think the people want to know how you're doing. The sea urchins. I've heard that they created a little bit of a disruption in your life.
Yeah.
Might I have an update, please?
I mentioned this a little bit at the end of the podcast, but so I went to the beach Friday night to take in a little seawater, some swimming, some relaxation, and some sunsetting. By the way, sunsetting didn't work out so well because there were clouds everywhere around the sun, so it wasn't the big, beautiful picture I was hoping for.
Sorry about that.
Walking into the water, and it was a very low tide, so a lot of I don't know, just a weird way. You're walking forever just to get knee deep in some water, And so I walking out there, and I stepped on something that was very painful, and then I hear some kid yelling about, oh, I caught 3 sea urchins, or some crap like that. So I figured it was a sea urchin, and then, like, my foot just kept hurting everywhere I'd go, and you'd step on rocks here and there, but I just figured I had stepped on a rock, and then when I looked at my foot, like, there are these things stuck in it, and it's not like...
Not rocks.
Yeah, not rocks, and it's not like giant needles by any means. It's just, like, little tiny centimeter, 2 centimeter pieces. But there were like 4 or 5 of them stuck in my foot, and I couldn't get them out. Soaked my foot in hot water, tried to tweeze them out, couldn't do it. 33-year-old adult who doesn't own a safety pin, so so maybe I should go get one of those because that probably would have helped.
Just one.
Yeah, but you started like looking up remedies for me because I was complaining about it in our campfire chat. And
I went to the number one source of trusted medical information on the internet, Reddit.com.
Right, yeah, Reddit is our number one. It's like the new WebMD, right?
Absolutely.
And so there was the idea of soaking it in vinegar. There's also the idea of peeing on your foot. I'm not really going to do that unless it's a jellyfish sting. So I went with the vinegar, and apparently it like breaks it up as if it was the consistency of eggshells. So so I did that, and... As I was soaking my foot in vinegar, I called my parents and wished my dad a happy Father's Day Sunday night, and talked to my mom for a little bit. My mom recalled the story of my cousin having the same problem, except he had like 50 of them stuck in his foot.
Oh, God.
In Mexico when they went on a vacation. And the locals there were saying, get a wooden spoon and just smack your foot. Like, smack where it is, because it like breaks them up and it makes it easier for your body to like push them out. And that felt like a trap, but I did take a wooden spoon and I smacked the bottom of my foot a couple of times. By the way, hurt like hell.
I was gonna ask.
Really hurt like hell. But I was able to get 2 big pieces out, and I've still got like it looks and feels like I've got 2 left in there, but it doesn't hurt anymore. It's not as uncomfortable.
Okay.
I went running yesterday. I went running today. Didn't feel it. Played tennis yesterday, didn't feel it. So it's so I think it's fine at this point. I don't know, I'm a little worried about infection in my foot. I don't really know what I could have no foot in a day or two. Or it could be
I predict you'll
fine.
Have a foot.
Yeah, it could be perfectly fine. Like, I don't want to be dramatic about this, but but yeah, my life lesson last night was don't step on sea urchins.
That's a wonderful life lesson.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not like don't avoid the water altogether.
No, I told my dad. I told my dad about this, and he's like, "Well, yeah, that's why you have to wear sandals." I was like, "Not in the water." He's like, "No, you gotta wear sandals in the water." Like, I don't think that's a thing. I'm not wearing a t-shirt in the water. I'm not wearing sandals. Like, you don't want to be fully clothed in the water.
You don't want to be that guy.
No, that's just not comfortable.
It's just weird.
Yeah.
I'd just be self-conscious if I was, like, wading into the water wearing sandals.
Speaking of prickly pain, the Sacramento Kings and their fans are going through some prickly pain right now.
Wait, did something... Hold on. Did something happen?
Yeah. The Maloofs have taken over the team. No, I talked about the trades. And, like, we had these reports yesterday that... I think it was from Sporting News that the Lakers were actively pursuing DeMarcus Cousins.
I laughed that off.
Yeah, I laughed it off too. I mean, I talked about it a little bit on the podcast trying to figure out if this was a feasible option. But yeah, of course they are. Like, most teams should be actively pursuing DeMarcus Cousins. He's one of the best big men in the league, if not the best big man in the league. And then last night after the podcast, I was in bed. You were giddy with delight as you let these Woj bombs explode in your head.
Oh my lord!
Woj drops this article about basically just like the turmoil between Cousins and George Karl, and how Karl is the one that is trying to get Cousins traded from the team. And it's insane.
It's incredible. Like, I feel so bad for Kings fans, but like, I am highly amused by this entire situation. I mean, that DeMarcus Cousins tweet last night is going to go down in history as maybe, arguably, you know, it's up there with Goink. Like, that's one of the best NBA tweets of all time, I think.
Sure.
He just said so much with those three characters.
Yeah, you had a I don't know, like a cornfield emoji. That kind of looks like grass, a snake emoji, and then another cornfield grass wheat emoji thing.
We can call it grass.
Yeah. And he's not the only player that's ever played for George Karl and tweeted about snakes in the grass.
Like,
that's actually a really... I mean, someone mentioned this. I think Network mentioned this already. But that's a really good starting five. That's a dangerous team. It's Ty Lawson.
Yeah.
It's J.R. Smith.
Yeah,
Andre Iguodala, Carmelo Anthony, and now DeMarcus Cousins—all players for George Karl who have tweeted out some kind of snake tweet.
That team could win the East.
That team definitely could win the East. You don't need much. Like, you could throw Matthew Dellavedova and some crappy big man in there, and that's a 7-man rotation that could do some damage in the East.
They could take James Jones with 6 straight finals. I'm absolutely they sure could.
I agree with that.
But yeah, it's like, I was just looking at this, like, you know, I knew the Melo thing. I'd actually kind of forgotten about it until people brought it up last night. But, like, with that and the Iguodala thing, it's like, is it possible? Like, it's at least possible that in the NBA, like, on text messages over the past few years, players have just been referring to George Karl as a snake this entire time. Like, this is just how they talk about it. And this is, like, now it's all out in the open. Like, that's at least a possibility that this is kind of a thing that previously existed, that we just kind of didn't notice a pattern until now.
You know, Tom Ziller actually was finding old stuff about George Karl and players. And he had some...
The Ray Allen thing?
Yeah, he had some really interesting quotes. Let me find them real quick. So there was this. This is Ray Allen on his relationship with George Karl. Ultimately, I think it was a whole George Karl relationship. We started butting heads and ended up not working. There was too much of management of players. I didn't feel like I had any problem with anybody. Sometimes you add one or you subtract one, especially when chemistry is a little bad, and that's what happened. Allen said he tried to learn from any mistakes he made with Karl when he moved on and played for other coaches, including Nate McMillan in Seattle and Doc Rivers with Boston. George is probably one of the best coaches I've played for, Allen said. He was great with X's and O's. At the end of the day, it became a soap opera, I think.
This is the thing. Like,
I mean, we're talking about Ray Allen.
Yeah.
Like, one of the most professional people to ever play this game.
Yes.
And like, George Karl had brought... I mean, George Karl had him traded for Gary Payton, who then left, like,
who didn't
4
stay,
weeks
yeah.
later.
Yeah. I look at what Allen said there, and I just think it's so telling. Because, like, first of all, like, let's give George Karl some credit for, like, just being a basketball coach. Like, he is... I would call him probably a genius in terms of offensive basketball and X's and O's, and in terms of giving his players freedom.
Yeah.
And I've always loved watching his teams play, and he's great with the media. I've always enjoyed talking to him, but I think, you know, the writing has been on the wall a little bit. Like, I mean, this is a situation in Sacramento, and like, before he was hired, when it was like the worst kept secret in the NBA that it was going to happen, people talked about, well, like, he has a history of like wanting control over personnel. And we already have this Kings team where nobody knows who the hell's in charge.
Right.
And then, also, we had the whole thing about, like, well, DeMarcus Cousins' agents have, like, personal history with Carl and are against this move. And, you know, Cousins had to come out and make that statement, like, this is not from me. I don't want to be held responsible for who they hire or fire or whatever. But, like, there was clearly tension on that front, like, from before he was even there. So
yeah, it was really weird. Because I think we probably talked about this at the time of, like, why would this come up? Like, what is the point? Like, why? How would this come up out of nowhere? Like, you have this really good coach taking over a team that had potential, or at least showed, you know, some success early on, and they have one of the best young players in the league. Yeah. Like, why would all of a sudden, like, why would he take over, but you wouldn't want DeMarcus Cousins? It almost just seemed like complete nonsense. But now with these stories, I mean, it still doesn't seem logical, but at least now we get why that was coming up, right?
But the NBA is a people business, and I think we're finding this out more and more, especially on the coaching end. Like, relationships matter, and the way you deal with your players matters if you're a head coach, maybe more than X's and O's, because I don't think anybody would dispute that George Karl is great with X's and O's. But it's funny, like, you can go back and parse Karl's public statements toward the end of the season. He had that infamous scrum where he said that nobody's untradeable.
Right.
That Devox came out and said, well, actually, one guy's untradeable.
Well, that I tweeted that
earlier. Hashtag, well, actually, statement on the radio.
I tweeted that earlier. I was like, you know, was Vladdy telling reporters that Cousins is untradeable or isn't going to be traded? Or was he, like, subtweeting George Karl?
Totally,
I mean, that, yes. I mean, now it seems very obvious, but it's great. And, like, the idea, according to Woj, like, the... Like, Carl has been pulling people up in the organization and players.
Okay.
How can we trade?
He was recruiting them.
Cousins. Yeah, he's, like, recruiting them, like, be on his side. And there was something from maybe Aaron Brewski or
Carmichael Dave. Two things.
Saying, like, essentially, like, Pete D'Alessandro was trying to, like, pull people within the organization and players. Like, hey, Cousins or Carl, who do we go with?
Which is crazy.
Which is insane.
That, and then the other thing that Carmichael Dave had was that Cousins had apparently asked for a trade a month ago.
Right.
So he already had decided, well, you gave this guy a 4-year contract, so...
Which, if that's true...
I mean, the Kings have no leverage here. They have nothing. The coach doesn't want the star there. The star doesn't want... I mean,
and there's no way
Cousins, he has been through a lot of crap there.
Sure.
And... Also, he likes the city. He likes the fans. He's never said a bad word about.
He was happy to commit to them.
Like that. He. This was a guy who, like, sure, he got a max contract, but a lot of teams would have given him
anybody
a max
would
contract.
Give him right.
Like he decided he was going to stay there, and he signed it in 2013 in the summer, and he decided he would stay there until the end of the 2018 season. That's a big deal for a franchise that had no momentum going for it whatsoever. So this is their most important player since Chris Webber. This is their all-star. This is one of the top, if he's not the best center in the league, he's like up there in the top three or four. Like, I think that's kind of objective at this point, now that he's good on defense. Like, this is an amazing player. This is a cornerstone. Like, yeah, he's had his issues over the years, but, like, there is no way the Kings get out of this and avoid disaster, right? Like, if you fire Carl, then, like, this is yet another new coach, and what coach is even going to want to step into that situation? Like, I find it hard to imagine that happening, but I find it absolutely impossible. You don't tweet snakes in the grass and then play for that coach again. Like, that doesn't happen, right?
I kind of hope it does, because that training camp, I mean, I think he asked to, like, be sent to Sacramento for that training camp.
Really?
Oh my God.
Carl there?
Oh my God. If Carl and Cousins are there still?
I'll go to Sacramento.
You can stay at my parents' house. Like,
thank you.
We can figure this out and tag team this thing. Like, that's an incredible preseason story.
I tweeted this last night, and I'm just going to copy myself. Like, I want to put the call out there to Jason Thompson. If you ever want to, like, if you need a ghostwriter for your book, like, man, like, 7 years with the Kings. Like, there's a title that's...
He's seen some BS. He's seen some things.
I would love to tell your story, man, if you're listening. There's been so much.
This is your ghostwriting bat signal out into the night.
I just, like...
Hey, wait a second. I just thought of this. How did the bat signal ever work for anything during the day?
It didn't.
So how do you get Batman during the day?
I mean, I guess the idea is that there are fewer crimes that go on in broad daylight, but it's not like there's nothing.
Okay, but if you're always getting picked off during the nighttime and you're a criminal organization, why wouldn't you just start making it the daytime when they can't send up that bat signal?
You have just, like, basically destroyed that whole universe. You're crushing some listeners' dreams right
Come
now.
Come at me, comic book nerds. I dare you.
I'm sure people will have perfectly sound logic to...
Perfectly sound logic about the comic book world.
Yes. No, there's an internal logic there.
I mean, I guess if it's an overcast day, that can work.
I suppose.
Or does he just think, like, oh, that's a weird reflection in the sky? Is that the bat? And then he's like, I don't want to waste my time again thinking this reflection... Or this, like, solar eclipse has become the bat signal. I think there's a lot of problems with that. I definitely would have committed all my crimes during the day.
Okay. You would have, in the past. You've moved on from this.
Right. No, I'm no longer living in Batman's city.
Okay.
And committing crimes. Okay. I've moved on.
No, I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah. I'm now battling Aquaman and his sea urchins. And I'm losing, which is the frustrating thing.
Yeah, you're doing okay. Yeah, you only got a couple.
I can take Aquaman. Flip friends right now. Aquaman sucks. Worst superhero ever.
This is not the first time I've heard you talk about this on an ostensibly basketball related show.
Right. Oh yeah, we're talking basketball. All right. Well, so no, I would love for them to stick together because I want to see the story get crazier. But you're right. Like,
do you think they're gonna pose like Kobe and Dwight Howard did?
I don't.
Where they were like pretend fighting.
Like Nick Stauskas is the Mike D'Antoni in the middle of it all.
He could have a mustache because he's supposed to be the Sauce Castillo character.
Right, now, yeah. Right? So, like, yeah, we can make that work. It feels like somebody's got to go.
Vivek or Vladdy have to say something. Like, I don't know if Carl's going to say anything.
There's got to be leadership from the top saying, we hear the rumors, we don't believe in them. We're committed to Marcus Cousins. We're committed to George Karl as our coach. That's it. Like, they have to come out and nip this in the bud. Like, they just do.
A friend last night told me, like, what if Woj was just waiting until, like, 2 a.m. Eastern? Like, yeah, it's like 11 Pacific. Like, I bet Vivek is, like, just going to bed now. Just perfect timing.
Let's see how late I can keep him up.
Those are the conference calls that must have happened last night.
Had to have.
The Kings front office.
But, there's no way...
I can only imagine the emojis they were sending in their text messages.
There's no way the Kings can get what they would deem fair value for DeMarcus Cousins. Because what they would ask for in a trade would have to be huge. Like, even the floating the idea of, like, Julius Randle and... the number two pick for Cousins, if you were doing a straight up trade with the Lakers, like, even to me, if I'm the Kings, I'm saying, what else you got? Like, that's not enough. Cause I think you have, like,
I don't think the Lakers are offering that
to just, no, that's the thing. They're probably not. And to justify dealing this, you know, unless Towns is falling to, like, there's just no way you can justify this to one, your fan base that you've been trying to keep together since buying the team. You're trying to, you know, make this new arena thing. Like, you're trying to make Kings basketball a thing again. There was the report yesterday of that Vivek is, you know, pressuring them to make the playoffs next season. Like, there's just too there's too much going on. There's,
you just made me, like, cackle.
there's way too much going on that you have to fix all of it and making some crappy, like, I know the internet loves Vucevic, and he's a fine big man, but that is Vucevic and a pick for Cousins is absurd.
No.
I would laugh that away. I would never stop laughing into the phone until they hung up on me.
He's a good player. He is nowhere near DeMarcus Cousins.
Yeah. I don't like him and the fifth pick. No, there's no way. There's no way I would even consider that.
I think it feels like Kings basketball is less of a thing now than it felt like when Kings basketball is legitimately about to not be a thing. Like, when they were almost sold,
right,
they were almost gone, it felt like the Kings were more of a thing than now. Like, it just feels like a whole mess. And, like, there's so much to talk about in that one story. Like, we haven't even mentioned, like, there was, oh, like, casually, like, halfway through, like, the Kings are exploring trading every single player on the roster including Rudy Gay.
Yeah, Rudy Gay's up, and then they
the last line of it, the very last line is, oh, by the way, Rajon Rondo, mutual interest. Like, what is this franchise?
It's just a mess. I mean, I don't know how you make sense of any of it. I mean, this is a leadership problem. And they've had a leadership problem for a year now. And it's something where it's on Vivek to fix this. He is, like, I know he's not the GM or the president or whatever. Like, he's the owner. I fully believe this. I've never believed that market size influenced how good teams are. Like, this whole idea that, teams will just go, the best players will just go play for the Lakers or for the Knicks. Not if they have a crappy owner. I think the Clippers have been prime examples of that.
Yeah.
And proven that. And it's something where the market, I'm not saying it doesn't matter at all, but it doesn't matter nearly as much as ownership and leadership of a franchise. And that's what
players, that stuff matters now more than ever to players.
Absolutely. And that's something where, that's where Vivek has to say, we have to be different. We can't be this sideshow anymore. Like, we have to, here are my mandates. This is what we're doing. Like, screw the whole 4-on-5 jokes and all that stuff. Like, it has to be, we're not trading Cousins. We're not firing George Karl. You guys figure it out. Let's go. Like, we're going to be a real organization. That's what it has to be.
I agree with every part of that, except though we're not trading him, we're not firing him. Because I don't know how you fix that relationship.
You make them be adults. You tell George Karl, stop this. We're not trading him. So you have to coach him. And DeMarcus, you have to play. We have you locked up to, what is it, 2018 or something like that?
2018, yeah.
Yeah, we have you locked up. We want to be a playoff team. It's better for you if you win. It's better for you if you win. Like, let's go. Let's be adults and run a basketball team.
That would be, like, quite a story, like, if they actually managed to repair this.
It's never going to happen, but that's what it should be. Like, sure. It has to be, hey, George, you want to go break Don Nelson's record? This is how you do it. You do it with this gigantic human being over here that we've locked up through your contract.
This is the other, like, this is, like, I feel bad saying that. Like, I've been a George Karl fan. Like, I think he's
an excellent coach.
But, like, and we should, like, it's pretty clear, like, with this particular story, like, this is the information is coming from the player's side. But like, there, that line there about, like, George Karl's main concern is not the long-term, like, health of the franchise. I'm not reading it. This is just from memory. But rather it is winning as much as possible in the short term, so we can get that, like, all-time wins record as a head coach. And, like, to me, like, that is kind of damning. Like, you're working with an organization that hasn't been to the playoffs in forever. Like, yes, it would be good to get some wins, but you have to do it in a smart, sustainable way. That's, like, the entire point. And that's what they haven't been doing forever.
There's no stability with this franchise.
And look at the West.
Yeah.
Just look at the West. Look at, like, I mean, the Clippers with that starting five, with Chris Paul and Blake Griffin, two arguably top five players, I don't know. Top 10.
Yeah, let's say top 10, yeah.
Like, cannot get to the conference finals. The San Antonio Spurs cannot get out of the first round. Like, the Thunder, yes, they were injured, whatever. Like, they did not make the playoffs. Like, this is going to take a long time. There is no quick fix here. Rajon Rondo is not a quick fix here. And I like Rondo more than most people, because most people hate Rondo at this point. But, like, you have to be patient. This cannot be a let's chase whatever right now. If it happens, cool, but that can't be the plan. You have to be patient. And I think about two things. I think DeMarcus Cousins was drafted the same year as Greg Monroe. 2 years ago, they were in essentially the same position with a team that they weren't entirely happy with. And Monroe decides I'm not going to sign an extension. Last year, he decides he's going to sign the qualifying offer. Now he can pick wherever he wants to go. I am quite sure if Cousins could do it over, he would have gotten the Greg Monroe route. The second thing, Rudy Gay, last summer, decides to stay with the Kings. He didn't have to. I think he liked playing with DeMarcus. He liked playing for Mike Malone. I think there's no chance he signs that contract if Mike Malone isn't there.
Right.
And then they fire Malone, who's the one coach that Cousins has ever got along with, in December. And, if I'm those two guys, like, I'm just so beyond pissed off with the way that this has been handled. And, yeah, like, you can say, like, we, like, ideally, Cousins and Malone, they're just going to act like grown-ups and go to work and figure it out.
Oh, it's
like,
never going to happen. You mean Cousins?
Cousins is frustrated. Yeah. I get it.
Yeah,
like, he has every reason to be.
Right. It's I don't know. I asked this on Twitter. Like, when's the last time we felt good about the direction of this franchise? Is it before Chris Webber's injury?
Oh my god!
That was 2003. Playoffs 2003.
I felt some optimism with Tyreek Evans when he won Rookie of the Year and he was good. It was like they have a player that
I was huge on Tyreek after that rookie year. Someone mentioned that and then said, and then I looked at the rest of the roster.
That's true. Like, but it was like you felt good about them the way that you'd feel about, like,
especially
Wolves right now or something.
Right, especially when you added Cousins to that a couple months later after the draft, and if you were big on Cousins, like, you looked at that and thought, all right, this Rookie of the Year who just was historical, DeMarcus Cousins could be a monster.
Who should never have fallen to them in the first place.
You also had Paul Westphal as the coach, though, and the Maloofs as the owners.
Which was, like,
incredible.
Like, the Westphal thing was such a horrible disaster.
It was so
bad. The way
bad.
That ended. Like,
it was so bad.
like, we can just... Yeah, like that. You felt horrible about it then. I felt good about it briefly in December, but that was just so short-lived. And then, like, honestly, when they... Like, I didn't feel good, but, like, when they hired Carl, I was like, okay, this has been the biggest disaster ever, but at least they should have a decent pick and they have a good coach. Like, maybe we'll kind of forget that this season was so bad when George Carl has this team being fun again. But, I mean, that's stupid.
Like, yeah, well, clearly now.
Like, that didn't work.
No,
like,
it didn't work at all.
This fan base has been tortured. They almost lost their team. And this is, like, they're just a joke. Like, it sucks.
I
mean,
that was kind of the sad thing is, like, I saw a few Kings fans today were like, yeah, we kept the team. We can deal with this. Like, and that shouldn't be the situation. You're supposed to be, like, building towards something and... damn.
Like, now I'm bummed out. Like, I've been laughing about this and joking. I think it is hilarious, but now I'm just kind of like...
Now you're depressed.
Like, it's... Like, I feel like Jason Thompson.
I've always said you're the Jason Thompson of basketball writing.
Just average. Just absolutely. League average replacement level.
Oh, no. Oh, that didn't come out right. all right, so... What else is going on
with this team? Or are we? Do we need other? Where are we going with this?
I guess we could move on. I mean, I don't know. Do we have more to say about this team? It's become a joke. I mean, it's always kind of been a joke, but I guess it's a joke for a different reason now.
I don't know if there's been any news while we've been talking. Like, I'm very fascinated with what the hell happens next now.
Yeah.
Like a few days ago, I was pretty excited about the draft because I thought, well, they could get Cauley-Stein, and then they'd have this awesome, like, floor-running rim protector guy, or they could get, like, Hezonja, and he'd, like, fit in really well and knock down threes and be aggressive and score and all this stuff. And now I'm just like, yeah, they'll go to another player and he'll not maximize his potential there. Like, I don't know.
I mean, is there a draft pick they could even make at this point that would make you feel better about the situation?
I
guess if Towns fell to them?
Sure. Carl Towns falls all the way to 5. Yeah, then they're saved. Then Cousins and Carl settle their differences.
Yeah. Okay, so, on like, do you think they get rid of Cousins? Do you think they trade Cousins, or do you think they fire George Carl? If you think it has to be one or the other.
I think they trade Cousins, and I think it's wrong. I think that's the wrong thing. But I think that's what ends up happening. Because I think you can... sort of spin that if you get a decent package in return, if they can create a bidding war. You can kind of spin it to, this is like a new phase of Kings basketball. He wanted out. We had no choice. Whatever, whatever. Whether that happens, like, on draft night, or whether that happens, like, around the time that the Kevin Love trade happened, which, I mean, it happened way later than it was agreed to, but it was essentially agreed to, like, during summer league, sort of.
Yeah.
Like, if it happens around then, like, I don't know, but I would be surprised if Cousins plays another game as a King, and that sucks, because, like, there aren't that many franchise guys in the NBA, and I think he's definitely one of them.
Aaron Brewski also just tweeted out in the last few minutes, Joel Myers, Pelicans play-by-play guy, said on Sirius XM radio that he heard a week ago that Cousins wanted out of Sacramento.
Yeah.
And also that the Kings are trying to move Jason Thompson. So.
Oh, my God. Free him.
So, there you go.
Put him out of his Sacramento misery.
Yeah.
What do you think? You think they're going to fire Carl? You think?
I don't think they can do anything.
Has anybody ever been fired that quickly? Ever?
I don't think so.
He was hired at the All-Star break. He was hired the second half. It was like February like 15th or something. Like, that was the day of the All-Star game.
This league is amazing.
It is unbelievable.
This really is, like, this is the best job I could ever hope for. This league is never dull. It's always weird. It's, I don't think you can trade Cousins. I just don't. I think you...
This is me 24 hours ago. Yeah. That is what I would have said.
I don't think you can do it. I don't think you can sell that. I mean, I guess it depends on the package you get in return. I don't think you can get the value that would take to spin this in a positive way. You know, like, Vivek's got deep pockets. He could afford to pay George Karl what he has to and then go hire another coach.
Who?
Mike D'Antoni?
Sure.
Paul Westphal? See if Rick Adelman wants to come back to town. I don't know. Like, does it matter? Can you go try to get Darren Erman? Like, go try to get some.
If I'm Erman, I'm sticking with Mr. Gentry.
I mean, I don't know. Like, I don't know what you do. Like, I think any coach at this point is better than losing Cousins for a mediocre package and hoping George Karl rights the ship.
Vivek did coach his daughter's team, right?
Is there anything in the CBA that says you can't coach your own team?
That's a very good question.
We got to ask Larry Kuhn about that, because...
Oh, I'm sorry, Sacramento. I truly am sorry.
I wouldn't trade Cousins. You got him locked up until 2018.
I would not either. I just... Like, I don't know what that meeting is like when you... Like, because... That's got to happen, right? Like, you have to get, like, the front office ownership to sit down with Cousins. I don't know if Carl is there or not. but you have to try to talk this out and see where they're coming from. Or maybe it's just a conversation that happens between his agents.
You got to talk to Cousins.
That's what I think.
Directly. It is. I mean, it's something where it's just like, you got to figure out the most mature way of handling the situation, which is absurd to say about a $1 billion company in the NBA that you have to do that. But it's true. Like, at a certain point, it has to, I know there are egos and there's a lot of money involved and all that stuff, but I think at a certain point, you've just got to be like, you're our franchise player. You're the coach we brought in to make this work. We're not trading our franchise player. We're not firing this coach after we just brought him at the All-Star break. Like, this is the situation. We are going to find a way to make this work. You tell us what we need to put players around Cousins to make this work. Yeah. Cousins, you tell us what you need to be a successful, you know, franchise player under this coach right now. Because the timelines don't match up to where we want to make a change either way. We feel like you can take us to the playoffs. We feel like you can coach us to the playoffs. Let's make this work. And I know that is... probably asinine in any kind of reality, but that's what it's got to be.
It's what you got to hope for. That's like, I'm just not sure. Like, if you're a Kings fan, like, if you even are at a point where you can't hope for that, or if it's just like, well, this is done. I don't know. I would love if they worked it out, because I think that would be a hell of a turnaround story. I mean,
it would be.
I can't remember anything. Like, I remember Kobe asking for Bynum to be traded. And then asking for himself to be traded, or kind of doing that at the same time, and then they ended up, you know, winning together. Like, this is different, but very, like, this is just way more personal.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
What?
Did you cover when the Wolves went to Miami this year? I'm not the Wolves, the Kings, sorry.
When the Kings went to Miami? Yeah, I'm pretty sure I was there for that.
Was Cousins there healthy and miserable?
Oh, that's right. Carl had just taken over. It actually wasn't that long after the Carl hire.
Okay.
Cousins seemed fine. I mean, I think he was mad about the situation just because they were losing.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, it's also kind of hard to tell because he's very sullen with the media. Right?
The like, game that...
He only trusts so many media members to even mm-hmm. talk to because he feels they have ulterior motives. Because, I don't know, we often do. Like, it's just... It's like we want the story, and you know, you use sources to get the story you want, and so I think it's just easier to keep everyone away, even though that can also invite like more guessing that about the situation. But you know, it's a risk that he's clearly willing to take with the media instead of being as open as possible. And not saying he's not open, but just you know, a matter of
you
talking.
Can say he's not open. Like
I think he speaks his mind.
Yes,
but I don't think he's speaking his mind as much as he probably would if he were mm-hmm. open.
Yeah, no, he's selectively sense. Open. A couple of times a year, he does a feature where.
Yeah, and then you know, Carl was very mad. Like Carl was talking about conditioning with Cousins and stuff like that. But I think that was it seemed like it was with an understanding that because of the illness Cousins had in November and December, that's something that's hard to make up for in that short amount of time. Because I think it had been a couple of months, and in the middle of the season, you don't get to. Do get your conditioning down like you would prior to the season.
Yeah. I just remember there were a couple of games like earlier on in the season when they were not early, like after the Mike Malone thing, where like they post like the post game video clip on like the local TV station's website. And like you'd watch Cousins in these scrums and he would just sound like despondent. Like he vented about the Malone situation a lot. And I remember vividly, like, the game that I went to in Toronto. They got destroyed, and the defense was a total disaster. He got in foul trouble, and as soon as he went off the court, they went, like, they allowed the Raptors to go on this huge run. And, like, I remember his scrum after the game, like, when people asked him about this, and he's just like, this is the same stuff I've been saying. Like, we have to have heart. We have to play hard defensively. We know we can do it. We did it at the beginning of the season, and it's just gone now. And it just sounded like he just sounded so defeated, and just like he wanted the season to be over. And yeah, I think there was this collective sense in the Kings locker room that like they had like they wouldn't say it on the record or anything, but like you could just feel they knew they had squandered something good. And who knows how good they would have? I don't think they would have sustained what like that start.
No,
but I think they could have been like a mediocre team under Michael Malone. Like they could have overachieved based on their talent, and they could have remained a good defensive team, which is crazy because they hadn't been one in a million years. And then you know, if there was a decision to be made at the end of the season, maybe they do it. But I just think that move is one of those. It just looks worse and worse and worse as time has gone by. And I just don't think you're in this. I don't think Cousins is disgruntled like at all if you keep him alone, which is like what we all kind of said at the time. It's like, why would you do this when your franchise player loves him? And
well, you had just locked him up.
Yeah.
You know, you have more flexibility to do moves like that. I mean, all right, they won 29 games last year. If they don't fire him alone and they're able to rebound from Cousins' illness, like, they win 37, 38 games?
Sure. Maybe
you know,
more.
I don't know. I don't know.
Even if you win more, you're not sniffing the playoffs in the West.
Yeah, that roster wasn't
very
good.
They're beating Eastern Conference teams, though.
Sure. That roster wasn't very good.
No.
I mean, if you say more, then you're talking about, like, them competing for a playoff spot. I don't think they're competing for a playoff spot, even in a down year with the end of the West playoff picture, like we saw. I mean, 45 wins got in. We thought it was going to take 48, 50 wins.
Yeah,
and then
I think they could have maybe got to like 40 or something.
I don't know,
but this is all theoretical. It doesn't matter,
right? Like, yeah,
you would have had a good feeling about the team as the difference.
So we'll say 37 to 40 wins. They keep Michael Malone. They build on that. You know, they add a lottery pick. It's not going to be the sixth pick this time, but you know, you throw them in around the 10-11 range. You know, then we start thinking more of them. You know, more about them. Like we do with the Jazz. Like, oh, here's an up-and-coming team.
Exactly.
Instead, now we're left with just this pile of rubble that doesn't make any sense.
Not a team.
Yeah.
Not a team.
It's not even like a buildable situation at this time, because you don't know if you're building with Cousins or not.
And beyond Cousins, like, literally the report said they're looking into trades for every player. Like, there is nobody. Like, we heard rumors about Stauskas earlier on, and that's the guy they just drafted last year. I don't think anybody would be shocked if they moved McLemore. That, like, Wojnarowski specifically mentioned Rudy Gay. So I don't know what, like, Cousins was the one guy that you could say, like, this is our franchise guy. And then to a lesser degree, Rudy was supposed to be his running mate, right?
Right.
And now it's just like, well, they've got a whole bunch of parts, and I imagine, yeah, I don't know. Like, maybe Rudy's just sending, like, poop emojis to DeMarcus today.
You're,
just a whole line of
you really want to know what these emojis are.
Yeah, I know.
Okay. Man, we got 40 minutes on the Kings. If you told me we were going to do 40 minutes on the Kings 2 days before the NBA draft, I would have thought that things fell apart and that they were having some kind of rift between Cousins and management and the coach. So that actually makes a lot of sense.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Should we talk some draft stuff?
Yeah, I'm down.
All right.
I'm getting excited. It's almost here.
I'm really excited. Christmas. I'm getting excited because the Wolves are going to take Towns. And I'm really excited about this Wiggins-Towns thing.
Wiggins and Towns.
That's a combination I feel like is almost, I will say almost, but almost too good to screw up. But
if we've learned anything from the Kings.
If we learned anything from the Wolves, there's a reason they have the longest streak in the NBA of not making the playoffs.
Before we get in the draft, speaking of your Wolves, the Anthony Bennett redemption, where is it going to happen?
Barcelona?
Hey! Where's it going to happen, Zach? Philadelphia? I like Philadelphia, personally.
Real Madrid?
NBA.
What, can he be an owner or something? Like, how much money does he have here?
This is a former number one pick, Zach.
Yeah, I mean, Derek Williams is a former number two pick. I mean, that's actually the thing I draw so many similarities with, except Derek Williams had more moments in his first 2 years than Bennett did. I mean, the key for Bennett is staying in shape, and he did a good job of riding that ship. He still has to learn. He has to learn how to play NBA ball.
Yeah.
And it's the, I don't know, like, I saw some flashes that I liked last year. I saw a lot of crap I didn't like. He's not a defender. He should be a better rebounder. He should be a better shooter.
He also should be allowed to shoot threes.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that's making or breaking his career.
No, but I think he should be allowed to.
Yeah, I mean, what did he shoot on? I mean, I'm sure he shot some kind of horrible percentage on jump
on
shots.
Threes
just on jump shots.
Well, he also needs to learn what a good shot is.
Right, and that's like to Flip's credit, like that's something he's tried to impose over the let's just shoot a bunch of threes. It's like, let's take shots we can make. Now, that hasn't translated all that well.
Yeah, because there's a difference between shots we can make and, like, twos where there's still a guy's hand in your face.
Like, right. I mean, he shot 42% from the field, 30% from three on 23 attempts. So he only took 23 attempts.
He basically didn't shoot them.
Yeah, he basically didn't shoot threes. His shooting numbers were, from so 3-point range 30.4% from 16 to 22 feet, 23 feet, 33%, you know, and the majority of his shots were in that 16 to 3-point range.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. Like, he's not a good shooter. He needs to.
Your point is you don't believe the redemption is happening anywhere. You're giving up. You're jumping off the train. You want them to move him for whatever they can get.
I have no
putting
problem.
Words in your mouth over and over again.
They're getting Towns. Like, I don't think they need him.
You just don't care.
Like, you can play Towns next to Peck. You can play Towns next to Gorgie. You can play Towns next to Adrian Payne, or you can play him next to Bennett. Like, I think Towns makes the power forward situation kind of irrelevant, because now you can play a much more modern switch everything versatility kind of thing. And like, and if Bennett can in theory fit into that, great. But he's got a long way to go before he can start thinking about fitting in there. I mean, he did improve a lot off a horrendous rookie season.
Rookie season just be scratched from the books. Like, he was never in shape. Yeah. He was never healthy.
Yeah.
He was never.
I agree. And I think that I don't think he's a lost cause by any means. I just think, like, I don't know how you have optimism about him right now.
Yeah.
Other than,
I think he's the kind of guy, like, if I was a general manager, which there are about 1,000 reasons why I'm not, but if I was, that's one of the guys that I scoop in and try to grab for not that much.
I mean, it's
just
it's,
take a shot at rebuilding his confidence in his career, because,
right,
like, there were skills and talent there, and I don't think that just disappears completely.
I don't think it's a bad idea. I also, you know, he's getting paid almost $6 million next year because he's the number one pick. And then the year after that, you have to make that decision now if you're going to pick up that fourth-year option. Fourth-year option, $7.3 million. Now, we're going to have an influx of salary cap and money with the TV deal, but still $7.3 million for a guy who hasn't done anything?
Well, this is why I say the Sixers should do it, because who cares?
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, if the Sixers went out and tried it, like, I don't think it's a bad idea. I also think, like, are you actually acquiring a good player, or are you acquiring Lee Nalen? But, like,
wow.
Seriously, like, no, Lee Nalen's a better player than Anthony Bennett's shown. Or what? Yeah. I mean, Lee Nalen at his height was a better player. You know, like, yeah, that's kind of the player you're looking at right now.
I understand. I just wasn't expecting to hear that name today.
I just love talking about Lee Nalen also.
Okay, draft.
All right, we've already been talking for a while on this thing, so we don't have to go too crazy in depth. I wanted to rank the point guards and the shooting guards, like top 10 point guards, top 10 shooting guards.
Okay. But do you have a ranking?
Well, I'm going to use Sam Vecenie's rankings.
Okay.
That he's done. You can find those on CBSSports.com. He's ranking each position. So I just, like, I think we should go through his top 10. I guess we'll go 1 to 10, because it makes more sense to do it that way.
Are there 10, like, point guards that are going to get drafted?
Yeah, that's, well, we might have 10. your question just made me start making cat noises. Like, I was just a cat in an alley screeching at a certain point. Like, I didn't even really have an answer there.
Horse sounds, cat noises.
Yeah, we got all your animal noises on the Ion Basketball Podcast.
The Ion Basketball Farm.
The Ion Farm Podcast. Okay, so let's start out. We'll do shooting guards and point guards. We'll start with point guards. Number one point guard in his draft, and this is with the understanding that we're calling D'Angelo Russell a shooting guard.
Wait. Why are we calling D'Angelo Russell a shooting guard?
Because he's a shooting guard?
I would be totally comfortable giving him the ball and saying play point guard for my basketball team.
Yeah, I mean, he's kind of a James Harden lead guard. That's the thing.
Okay.
Did you call James Harden a point guard?
I think...
Yes or no? Yes or no, James? Is James Harden the best point guard in the league? Yes or no?
No.
Answer right now.
No, he's not.
So you don't think James Harden's a good point guard. There we go.
I think Russell can play point guard for my team. But okay, fine. Let's pretend he's not a point guard.
Yeah, we're going to call him a shooting guard just because it makes this easier. So number one point guard prospect for Sam is Emmanuel Mudiay.
I don't think there should be any argument here. I guess the question is, to me, like, what tier does he fall in? Like, do you start saying, well, like, maybe the Knicks take him? Or are you thinking he should be, like, a step below and maybe be somewhere in the, like, 6, 7, 8 range?
If I'm the Knicks, I'm taking either... I mean, it's a three-person race. I'm taking either Mudiay, Kristaps, or Willie Cauley-Stein.
Winslow's not in that mix?
I don't think so.
Hezonja's not in that mix, no?
I don't think so. Maybe, like, I would look to trade down to get Hezonja, but I wouldn't... I don't know that I'd take him with a fourth pick.
Okay. Do you think the Knicks should take him? Like, is that...
I think the Knicks...
This is a name that's been linked to them for, like, ever, but so have a lot of guys.
For Mudiay?
Yeah.
I do. I think I'd... I don't know. It's... I don't know if New York, and especially that environment, is the right situation for Kristaps.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's probably the most intriguing prospect for me at number four, but I think Mudiay or Stein, Willie Cauley-Stein, are safer. I'd probably go Mudiay because I think I'd want a veteran big man trying to anchor everything. And then, like, the idea, like, I know Mudiay can't shoot, and that's a problem. But
he can get to the rim, though. Like, he can.
Yeah, like, at worst, he's a good, you know, playmaker and a good defender. Like, yeah. I think that's kind of, you know, his floor. And I don't know. I just believe you can teach shooting. You have to have the right patience.
I don't think his shot is broken.
I don't think it's that bad. I mean, it's not good, but I don't think it's that bad. Like, I think you can, I think it's workable, and so I'd probably
That's
go
what
Medea.
I mean. Like, yeah. If there's a reason why his numbers aren't great.
Right.
But, like, I think you look at, like, especially some of the workout stuff, which I know, like, a lot of the times they're just like, here's all his makes. But, like, you watch him shoot, and, like, I think that's a reasonable form to work with if I was, like, a.
Yeah, like, I just look at it and, like, if the dude's a worker, he's going to fix it. And, I look at Kawhi Leonard, and I know it's, you know, that maybe that's not the right standard to hold prospects to, but Kawhi Leonard's shot was broken coming out of San Diego State. I mean, it was bad. He could do everything else, but it was bad. And he figured out almost immediately by working with the right people. So if you get the right people in, that doesn't necessarily sound like a Knicks kind of thing to do, but if you get the right the right people in, yeah, I like him.
Yeah, and I think, like, with those picks like Leonard, it's like, well, can they do pretty much everything else?
Yeah.
And, like, Leonard could.
I mean, the problem with, like, that is that there are free agent point guards you can go get in the next couple of years. And you know, like, the point guard's such a saturated position that I think that that's maybe a concern for taking Moutier.
Yeah, I can see that. But I think he's, like, I know who the next guy on the list is going to be. And, like, I think there's some separation.
Between,
I like the next guy a lot, but I think Moutier is the number one.
Next guy is Jerian Grant.
Oh, then I don't know the next
guy. I knew you didn't know the next guy. Jerian Grant is...
Hold on a second here. We need Sam on this podcast. How are we putting Jerian Grant ahead of Cam Payne?
He's not as high on Payne as you and I are. I like Grant a lot. Big guard.
I think he'll
be a shooter, make plays. I like him a lot.
But here's the thing. Like, I just think he's the sort of guy who, if you get him from, like, 15 to 20, you're happy with him. And I think, you know, Payne, there's a reason why he's risen so much. And I would just, I think there's a higher ceiling there. I think, you know, he wasn't the greatest defender ever last year. And he, you know, you'd like him to be a bit better once he got to the basket, but I think he had generally good touch, and I think he had generally good control, and he's really good at running a team, and I think that he's going to get stronger and better at finishing, and he's long as hell, and I see him as a really good two-way player. Like, Jerian Grant could be a really good two-way player as well, but I just think, like, I don't know. I think highly of Payne. Now, I realize we're talking about two guys at the same time here.
Yeah, well, okay, let's do that then. Because I think we should throw Tyus Jones into that as well. So with Grant,
the Tyler Ennis of this year's draft.
No, I think he's actually good. With Grant, Tyus.
I think Ennis can still be good, but I think Jones is basically the same guy.
Are we back to talking about Barcelona?
You just want all Canadians to be relegated to Spain for some reason.
I really
Spain
do.
Is nice.
I really do. Stop trying to take our jobs. Jerian Grant, Tyus Jones, campaign. So you're going Payne,
Grant,
Jones. I think I'm going. I think I agree with Sam here. Well, I agree with Sam that Grant's number two. I'd go Grant, Payne, Jones.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought you were high on Payne.
I am, but I'm also high on Jerian Grant.
You're really high on Grant. Okay.
I mean, Grant kind of fits the exact same profile as Payne.
It's similar. I just think Payne's a bit better. Well, where's the highest you would take Grant? Like, are you thinking about him? Like, let's say you're like the Pacers or the Heat. Like, are you reaching there?
I'm not the Heat.
Mock draft being putting him that high.
Not if I'm the Heat. Yeah, not if I'm the Heat, but if I'm the Pacers, I think there's a real decision to make between Payne and Grant if you're going point guard.
Interesting.
I also love the idea of having a tall point guard next to George Hill playing off guard.
Yeah.
I like that idea a lot.
And Payne could kind of be that. I mean, he's not super tall, but he's not small.
Yeah, no, it's not like he's Ty Lawson out there.
Yeah.
But Grant, I think Grant's like 6'4"? Does that sound right?
I thought he was like 6'3" or something
from the combine,
but I could be wrong. I don't have my computer in front of me.
What do you think of Tyus Jones in relation to those two guys?
I think he's in a different tier to me.
Yeah.
I think he's got a little bit of that you know, championship bump.
Oh, Jerian Grant's 6'4" and 2/4". No, 6'4" and a quarter. 6'4" and 2/4" would be 6'4" and a half. 6'4" and a quarter with a 6'7" wingspan.
Okay. Yeah, that's a bit bigger than I thought. That's a bit bigger than I thought.
And Payne is what, like 6'1", 6'2"? 6'1" and a half, 6'7" wingspan.
The 6'7" wingspan is big.
Yeah, that's nice.
But yeah, no, Jones is fine. I just think, like, it's kind of, if you're taking him above, like, 21, 22, I think there are just dudes with a higher ceiling than that. But I think he can come in and be a solid backup.
Yeah. I actually don't mind the idea of him being the Mavericks guy.
Yeah, I mean, I have no idea who's going to be playing guard for them next year.
Yeah, that's the thing. They have Felton and Harris, and they pick 21. If he falls to 21, I really like the idea of Tyus Jones being their pick and then some point next season kind of taking over the point guard duties. I know Rick Carlisle and point guard's kind of a difficult situation.
Yeah.
So that could, but I think that tests him, and I think he's, I don't know, I think he's a, and he's good enough to make it work.
Yeah, maybe. I want the Mavs to sign Patrick Beverley personally, but that's neither here nor there.
All right, so we're going, so you're going Payne, Grant, Jones. I'm going Grant, Payne, Jones.
Okay.
Fifth is DeLon Wright.
Cameron Payne will make you regret this.
Sure.
Actually, I don't think there's, like, I think Wright's in the same, like, tier as Jones to me.
I kind of do, too.
Like, I kind of think Wright is, like, on the same tier as Jones, sort of. Like, I'm not even sure if I definitively like Jones better.
I like Wright a lot. He's another big guard who can play make. I think he'll be a good shooter, or at least a competent shooter. And what is he? He's like a legit 6'5", right?
He's big.
Yeah.
And, like, I think, you know, I think he fits with a lot of teams that are drafting, you know, kind of about where he's supposed to go, like, in that sort of 20 to 30 range. I think somebody will be very happy with him there.
Yeah, like, I know he's not as tall, but I think he kind of reminds me a lot of Sean Livingston.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah.
I mean, Livingston, I think, part of me is, like, loath to compare anybody to him because just coming out of high school, like, the vision and athleticism he had was just, like, crazy. Like, nobody had that kind of feel for the game. Like, that's what made him so special.
Right.
But I do get it.
Yeah.
Like, I see a little bit of that there.
All right. And then we're dropping into, like, most likely second round here. Terry Rozier. Is it Rozier or Rozier?
I think it's Rozier.
Terry Rozier from Louisville. Yeah. I like him a lot.
He should be a first-round pick, honestly.
I'm kind of hoping he falls to the Timberwolves at 31.
I don't think you're going to get him, Zach. I'm sorry.
You didn't think I was going to get Andrew Wiggins either. I pulled that off.
That's true. You made it happen. It was all you.
Yeah.
That
was definitely all me.
That.
Yep, I sure did. I like him. Yeah, he's a fringe first-round guy. I think he's got
upside.
Yeah.
He's got a story, man. Like, I don't know. I don't really want to get into it on this podcast, but if you look up a couple of the profiles on him, like, he's been through some stuff.
Yeah.
And I think it's hard to not root for that guy.
Yeah, I think he's a good defender. I think he's going to be a good scorer. I'd like him to be more of a playmaker, but if he's your backup point guard, yeah, that's a really nice scoring option off the bench.
He's such a Sixers pick, isn't he? If they could somehow
figure
out how to get him, I just think, like, that fits the profile.
Yeah, I like that.
The hinky.
I really like. I had a second round, kind of a fringe first round, second round sleepers post go up last night. Olivier Hanlon, mm-hmm. out of Boston College. I'm digging this guy.
Well, this is a Canadian too.
Is he?
I'm surprised you don't have him in Spain.
I'm out. I'm out on Hanlon. I've got to go in and
edit. You're going to go edit the post?
I got to go edit a post. I think it'll be great in Shanghai in a couple of years.
Whoa, you just switched it up on me here.
No, but, like, 6'4", I think he's a good attacker in pick and rolls. I think he's a good spot-up shooter.
He will score.
Yeah. Like. Maybe not the point guard you're looking for, but, like, if he's a combo guard, he's 6'4", combo guard off the bench, like, he could be a real player.
Yeah.
I like him a lot.
You know how certain guys, like, who is it, like, Josh Selby was, like, an all-star at Summer League every time.
Right.
Like, so, I could see Hanlon, like, getting buckets at Summer League, but we'll see.
Maybe not the most optimistic comparison to say Josh Selby.
I'm not saying he's the same type of player as Josh Selby. I'm just saying,
yeah,
in terms of, like, when we're going to talk about Summer League at some point.
Sure. and then the next three... We're getting into some dicey territory. So it's Andrew Harrison at number 8, Joseph Young at number 9, I think Joseph Young is more of a two guard in a point guard's body, and then Quinn Cook. I'm not sure Quinn Cook gets drafted.
I'm not sure these guys are NBA players.
I like Joseph Young a lot. Duke can score, great shooter. I'm big on him.
You're big on it? You're like mid-first round big, or you're...
No, like great... I
mean, second round, obviously.
Yeah, like second round steal kind of situation.
Yeah. Okay. I love him with that.
Yeah, I love him as like a third or fourth guard on your in your rotation. I just think he's going to be a guy who's important to a playoff team with the way he stretches the floor.
I'm not the negative guy, especially around draft time.
Right.
Like, I'm just really not. But I'm not optimistic about these Harrisons.
Yeah.
These Harrison bros.
It's not great.
I just don't see it. And I know they were like supposed to be awesome out of high school, but like, I don't know, man.
Yeah, it hasn't
I'm
been.
I'm just not sure what they're going to bring, what they could bring to an NBA team.
Last year and a half for them hasn't been great.
No.
All right, let's go quickly through the shooting guards. This is another situation where we've got like five, and then we've got some stragglers at the.
Well, there's also like if you're talking wings, like. Some of these guys are going to be hard to categorize.
Yeah, like I think with the guys on Sam's list, I think I feel pretty comfortable calling them shooting guards.
Okay.
But maybe when we get into the small forwards, if we do this tomorrow, that'll be a different call of like, okay. Oh, is this guy more of a shooting guard than anything? But I think these guys are legitimate shooting guards.
Okay.
D'Angelo Russell, number one. You may quibble with whether he's a point guard or shooting guard, but I don't think you can quibble with the fact that he'd be number one on either list.
I love him. We've been talking about him for a while.
I've been watching his pick and roll scoring. He is a murderer.
Yeah.
Like a serial killer murderer. Will wear your skin driving through states.
Will he?
Yes.
Wow.
In the pick and roll, he will. I think he translates so well to the NBA game.
In so many years, I'd be like, yeah, this is a number one pick. But, I mean, Carl Towns exists.
Right.
I think if he went number two, it would be I would start clapping.
He's so good. He's so good that I think like if the Wolves just decided to get crazy and take him number one, I would not be upset. Like I would be confused, but I wouldn't be upset.
You would be confused and then you would talk yourself into it because
I'd talk myself into it in a second.
Yeah. Like I know both of us, we watch every team, but you pay extra attention to the Timberwolves and you would watch all of his games and that would make you happy.
Twice.
I understand.
I watched him twice.
Twice. True.
All right, number two shooting guard, Mario Hezonja.
You watch all of them twice? Do you watch all of them twice?
Yeah, I almost all of them because I went through and, you know, I'd skim through... You know, not like another 2-hour production of, but you know, you go through
watching all the commercials.
Yeah, you go through them, or you go through the archive, the quick archive version on League Pass, and yeah, just trying to get what I get.
Respect.
Which could be, man, the middle of that season that was a chore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'll be better next year.
Oh, it'll be much better next year. Mario Hezonja, number two shooting guard on Sam's list. I agree. Love him. He's brazen. He's brash. He's any kind of B word that you could confuse with ego.
Boisterous?
Like, to me, he's like what Rudy Fernandez was supposed to be.
Yeah. He's a better version of Fernandez.
Yeah.
And Fernandez, I love Fernandez.
Oh, he was
like
good,
yeah. That kind of play. I think, you know, he is the most, like... If there is like a sort of prototypical shooting guard for right now, it's kind of that guy. Like, his shot is gorgeous. He has no hesitation in shooting it. He did a lot of just spotting up this year. He played on a really good team. I think it'll be, you know, you can look at it. Excuse me. You can look at it two ways. Like, he'll come in and be totally ready to play basically the same role that he played overseas, or he'll come in, and if you actually give him more responsibility, he'll be excited to have it, because he is a guy that when he does drive and attack the rim, like, he's super athletic, and he can finish. He's the sort of guy that, like, I think for a lot of people, like, the more you watch him, the more you kind of fall in love with his game, and his attitude and the way that he plays, so...
He's gonna rub a lot of people the wrong way.
Yeah. He's gonna totally get in people's faces.
It's gonna be great.
Yeah, people are going to set really hard screens on him at first. But I really like him. And I think this draft is so tricky because once you get past really the first two or three picks, it's like, well, if he goes third or fourth, like, do you argue with that? Like, I don't. I don't think that's what's going to happen. I wouldn't argue with it.
He should not go over Towns, Okafor, Russell in any way.
Probably not.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we think differently about Okafor a little bit. I'm still not really sure where he fits in for me. But basically, yeah, like, he is, like, Hezonja, I think, is the real deal. And I think, if nothing else, like, you know, he is athletic and can shoot the lights out. So you're happy with that.
Okay. And then we've got Devin Booker, the third best shooting guard, according to Sam. I agree with this. I think, you know, I know Devin Booker could be limited, but he's such a good shooter that I think he'll be fine.
Who do we have at four?
RJ Hunter.
I don't think there's as much separation between these two guys as some people do.
Maybe not.
Like, I think I would... This probably sounds hot takey, but I think I would rather have Hunter. I get that the numbers for Booker are so much better, but I think the context in Hunter's, like, last year is important. Because they had him trying to do different stuff, and it was, like, a very intentional thing. And I think if he just comes in and he's just asked to be a shooter and they slowly bring along the other parts of his game, then he can be really good. Because I'm in love with his jumper. Booker, I think, will be fine, but I just think that Hunter can be, like, a special sort of shooter in this league. And I look at it kind of the same way. Like, his numbers were better the previous year, and it's like this is sort of like the conversation we had about Bradley Beal when he came out, and I was like, why is everybody calling him a shooter when he didn't shoot that great in his final year? And it's like, well, because he is. Like, if you watch him shoot, he's a freaking shooter. And I like Hunter's smarts. I like his feel for the game, and I think he's just going to fit in as a role player, and he's going to – I think he can – he's years away from being, like, an all-around player, but I think just as a shooter, he can kind of step in and do it, and I'm comfortable with that.
Yeah, I feel comfortable saying Booker's better. I just think he'll – I think he'll be a better shooter. I think
– You think long-term he'll be a better shooter? Like,
yeah.
Okay.
I just think,
I disagree,
like,
but
catch and shoot, coming off screens, all that stuff, like, in transition, I think he's going to be great. I think Hunter needs the ball in his hands a little bit more to be in a rhythm and be effective, and I don't know that he's going to get that chance. I'm very high on RJ Hunter. I think he's going to be good, but I look at it as, like, maybe in terms of shooting, like, a reliability between someone like J.J. Redick for Booker and someone like Danny Green for Hunter. Both very good, but I think, like, that's maybe my comparison there. I'm not saying I'd rather have J.J. Redick than Danny Green.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that.
But I think in terms of, like, reliability with shooting, I think Redick fits into every system. I'm not sure Danny Green fits into every system.
Okay.
You know?
I see where you're coming from. I'm not sure I agree, but I see where you're coming from.
Okay. Number five, Rashad Vaughn, who, God, that's another guy I pray falls to the second round and just won't. Because I would love him on the Timberwolves, but he's that guy is also a phenomenal shooter.
He's a bit under the radar.
Yeah.
He
could be he'll be a late first round steal.
Yeah. I think he's one of those dudes that, like, I think it's like it's kind of hard to get excited about him. So, like, he's fallen a bit more than he should, but I think he's a guy that, like, you know, if you get him in the 20s, like, you're kind of lucky. Like,
yeah.
That's not where you find stars anyway. So,
like, yeah, I mean, you have to curb his, like, shot selection a little bit, but I think, like, that just happens in the natural hierarchy.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think he's going to be J.R. Smith up there.
No.
By any means.
You are.
Then we get into the second round, guys. And this is just kind of a crap factory. Norman Powell, Michael Frazier, Michael Qualls. Sucks with Qualls because he just tore his ACL.
Yeah,
I still think he gets drafted.
Do you?
I think so. I'd take the risk. I mean, Spencer, I know it was a different timeline, but Spencer Dinwiddie got drafted.
Well, Spencer tore it during the season.
Right, like, yeah. I know
he was ready for...
I know it's a different timeline, but okay, so he's going to be ready December, January?
Yeah. I like Spencer more, though, but I get what you're saying.
I'd draft Qualls mid-second round, give him a four-year second-round contract.
Agents don't like those anymore.
Well, he just tore his ACL, so what leverage does he have? and just say, all right, we're willing to commit these 4 years, but we want you, you know.
Yeah, maybe.
We want you to work, and the first year's a wash anyway.
Yeah.
Because he's not going to play much as he comes back from the injury. I'd still definitely draft him.
Do you think much of Powell or?
I'm not big on Powell. I like Frazier a lot.
Okay.
I think he's going to be a good shooter. I think he could be a good defender. I definitely like him more than Powell. I would go Frazier, injured Qualls, Powell.
I'm not going to argue with that.
Yeah. And then
I don't have any strong takes on once we get to the second round, guys. I'm just
And then the last two are Pat Connaughton. I don't know how to say his name. Something Irish. Pat Connaughton out of Notre Dame. Yeah, and then Josh Richardson out of Tennessee. I like Richardson quite a bit. I like Connaughton. You know, crazy athlete, good shooter.
Oh, yeah.
But he's also like a crazy athlete that I'm not convinced will be able to defend in the NBA.
Which is weird.
Yeah.
Because when you have a crazy athlete, that's what you assume they'll be able to do. But but I don't disagree with that.
I'm not sure what kind of score Richardson would be off the bench in the NBA either. I think he could be a defender. Maybe he ends up being like a 3-and-D guy is like his peak. But I'd probably go Richardson over Connaughton.
Sure.
You have no opinion.
I don't have an opinion on Richardson or Connaughton.
All right.
I enjoyed watching Connaughton in the NCAA tournament. But
yeah,
I didn't
really
see him as a NBA.
He was fun when Jerian Grant was hitting him with passes. I'm also very excited for Demetrius Jackson next year.
Are you?
Yeah, I like him a lot.
Excellent.
All right, that's going to do it. That's our crazy long try to figure out this Cousins mess and then add some draft talk podcast.
How long did it go?
I don't know. We're pushing like an hour 12. I got to do some editing, but about an hour 10, hour 12.
Wow.
Yeah. It's draft season.
Draft season. It's DeMarcus crazy time.
Watch out for those sea urchins. Thanks, James.
I'll keep an eye out.